Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. Jeremiah, chapter 10, where we'll be looking this evening. It's good to see everyone here. I know we look and say there's a whole lot less here than was here this morning, but we're here. And our purpose is to honor and praise God and to worship Him, and we will take opportunity to do that, and we will consider a message from the Word of God. And when we think about Jeremiah, of course, he is one of the prophets that was sent to warn the Israelites of their impending doom and to give them the reasons why they were going to be sent into captivity, they would be destroyed, they would have to deal with this particular group fighting against them, whatever the particular prophecy was he was dealing with at the time, the punishment God was pouring out. And certainly we have prophets that went to the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. We have prophets that went to the kingdom of Judah. We've got even prophets that we find in the Old Testament that went to other nations. Jonah, one that comes to mind when we think of that. He was sent to Nineveh, but there are a couple of others that were sent to the Edomites and various ones to proclaim upon them the wrath of God because they turned against Him. And in amongst these things and these prophecies, as especially the one we're going to look at here in Jeremiah chapter 6, as God warned the Israelites and told them why, we can see some things that caused them to get themselves into this position. Jeremiah talks about some specific things that caused them to have the problem that they were having, and we haven't changed today. The world is the same today as it was then. We've got better insulation on our houses, as we were talking about before services, but mankind is the same today. We still have the same difficulties and struggles, the same problems, the same obstacles, and the same focus. Now, certainly, we are focused on serving God according to the law of Christ, where the Jews were focused on serving God according to the law of Moses, but the focus is the same, to serve and honor God. And so what Jeremiah speaks to the people of this nation too can be used to help us to understand. And certainly, if your Bible has headings, you find these things are directed to those in Jerusalem or Judea, maybe that general area, because it was talking about the impending destruction of the city of Jerusalem because of their wickedness. But beginning in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 6, after having spoken about the fact that they're going to be destroyed, we read, continuing, thus says the Lord of hosts, they will thoroughly glean as the vine, the remnant of Israel. Pass your hand again like a grape gatherer over the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. But I'm full of the wrath of the Lord. I'm weary with holding it in. Pour it out on the children in the street and on the gathering of young men together. For both husband and wife shall be taken, the aged and the very old. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. Yet, or they did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Hear therefore, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Certainly the prophecies and teachings of Jeremiah continue throughout the book, and there are railing accusations against the people. But for our purposes this evening, this reading is sufficient. Because as I read the thoughts that Jeremiah interjects and talks about of himself in regards to his purpose before God. And in regards to the other prophets that we read, I'm reminded that to a great degree, while, don't get me wrong, I'm not equating myself with Jeremiah or anybody like that, but to a great degree, I am one who is to warn, to proclaim, to teach the Word of God and warn against wickedness. And so the things that Jeremiah talks about here are things that are familiar to me. There are things that I constantly try to do, and I hope that by looking at what Jeremiah says and what the Lord says through Jeremiah about the wickedness of Israel and how they got into that condition, it will help us to avoid rebellion in our own lives. And certainly what we recognize is the reason God's wrath was being poured out on Jerusalem and Judah and had been poured out on Israel and others was because they had turned away from God. In fact, as we read in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah says, "To whom shall I speak that they may hear?" Nobody listened. One of the first things that we see when we look back at someone who has turned away from God, almost in every instance, we can see that they began to stop listening to the Word of God. They refused to hear. Of course, this is the warning that Jesus gave to the Jews of His day when He rebuked them in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. "This people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear. With their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and I would heal them." Much like what Jeremiah writes here in verse 10, their ears are closed that they cannot listen. They stop giving attention to the Word of God. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9, 10, and 11, Isaiah 30, verse 9, 10, and 11 says, "There are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who says to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions, leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more of the Holy One of Israel.'" Now, when we read things like that, of course, our mind automatically goes, "Well, I didn't stop listening to the Lord. I still listen to what God has to say. I still give attention to His Word. I haven't refused God's Word." But do we listen to God in everything? Do we give attention to God's ideas, God's thoughts, God's instructions in every aspect of our life? Or are there some areas that we're following the advice of some man? Or we're following what feels best to us? You see, it doesn't have to start with completely ignoring the Word of God. It starts with not listening in one area or not giving as much attention in one particular part of our life. We need to remember that God knows us best. As we read in Genesis chapter 1, God made us in His image. He created us. He gave us dominion, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But it is God that created us, male and female, and God knows us. He looked upon what He had created, and it was good. And the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher Solomon, says in verse 13 of his last chapter, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man." That doesn't just apply in religion. That applies in all of life. Mankind certainly is not able to save himself. But wouldn't it be best if we listened to God in everything, since He's the one that created us? He designed us. And so He knows what is best for us. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, of course, familiar to us. "It's not in man, the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps." We don't know all about us. We may think we do. Yet, we go through life and we develop a little knowledge and a little understanding, and we start looking at what's going on around us, and we make a determination, "Here, I think this is best," And so I'm going to follow this practice without even considering whether that's what God would have us to do. Refusing to listen to God turns us into wickedness. Stop listening to God in any part of your life, and you're going to start leaning away from the light. It begins, as all things do, with little things. And we need to be careful that we give attention to the Word of God in all aspects, lest we find ourselves traveling down the pathway that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. And we're not going to go and read verse 21 through 28 there, but I encourage you to go back and read it again for yourself, because he goes through the process of the depravity of man. And it started by not listening to the Word of God. By coming to the understanding that, well, I know how to take care of myself. I know how to satisfy me. I know what I need and what I ought to do. And so they don't turn to God. We need to be careful of the same thing today, lest we find ourselves traveling the same pathway that the Israelites were warned against and rebuked for. The second thing that we see that Jeremiah talks about here is the obsession that the Israelites had for material things. In verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 6, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." They became obsessed with the material things of the world. They became more desirous of gaining gold and lands and houses than was serving the God of heaven. Jesus has always warned throughout all of his ministry, and all of his preachers and teachers have warned us about looking for material things and satisfaction in material things. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Or the warning and the condemnation poured out upon the rich man in verse 20 of that same chapter. "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be?" Every time I read that verse 15 in Luke chapter 12, I'm reminded of the joke is presented as guys, and I don't remember exactly how it goes, but the end result is the one with the most toys wins. And I'm afraid that we've even allowed that to creep into our lives as Christians. There are things that we desire to have, and we work to gather those things. We want multiple vehicles, or we want more cars, or we want better foods, or we want a bigger house. And in order to do that, we have to work more. In order to do that, we have to make sacrifices elsewhere. Sometimes it's as simple as we want to be better than our parents were. We want to have an easier life, or we want our children to go to a particular school because that school will lead them into a better career. We need to be careful of such things. The one that Jesus rebukes in the parable there in Luke chapter 12, that he rebukes there in verse 20, was all excited about how much his farm had produced. He was focused on gathering food and produce so that he could have plenty. Sometimes it's as simple as we get caught up in preparing for our future life. And we forget that everything on the face of this earth is going to turn to dust. And I'll be honest with you, I speak from experience. There are things I like to have. If you don't think so, I got a room in my house that just show you all kinds of things in there that I've got. Some of them I got for free, but still. We like to have things. We like to increase materially, to show progress and success. In fact, we measure our success, especially in this country, by how much we have. Well, I recognize each of us looks at what we have and says, well, I don't have very much. And then I'm reminded of the discussion we were having before services this morning. There's not a one of us that has to take newspaper and stick it in the cracks of our house to keep the wind out in the wintertime. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that's a good thing. But we are very blessed in this world today. In this country especially. It may not always be that way, but at this point we are very blessed. Noticed in an article just this afternoon that a great majority of the countries in Europe have a lower median income than almost all of the states of the United States. A couple exceptions, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, kind of on the lower end they were talking about. Don't get cocky, Arkansas wasn't too high up either. But most all of the states in this country have a higher purchasing power, especially, than any of the nations in Europe. We're blessed, but we need to be careful that we don't become obsessed with those things, that we don't make those things our focus. Because as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. There are no U-Haul trailer hitches on a casket. We're not going to carry a thing with us. And even the things that we have are going to wither and die over time. That's why Paul told Timothy in verse 10 of that same chapter, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And it doesn't take much reading in the history and the story of the Israelites to find out that the more they obsessed over material gain, the less they served God. And that should be a lesson to us. Any treasures we lay up here on earth are going to pass away. They will rust and decay. We need to look to the things that are unseen, to the things that are above rather than the things that are here and are transient. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And Paul told the Colossian brethren, as we looked before, that they needed to set their minds on things that are above and not on things on the earth, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. When we find ourselves beginning to concentrate on the things of this world, whether it be, I need to make time to watch my favorite TV show so I can't go and do this, or I've got to make time for my family, or I've got to take a nap and it causes me to be late for attending where I'm supposed to be, we've lost our focus. And I know we look at some of those things, but I need to be with my family. I have to take a nap. I have to rest. I have to do this. I have to do that. Which one's going to get you to heaven? Which one's going to get you to heaven? If we were as obsessed with God and spiritual things as we sometimes are with material things, and each one of us has our own personal obsession we have with material things, if we were as obsessed with God and His work as we were with that, we would be much better off both in this life and much better prepared for the life that is to come, much more certain of entering into heaven. God has given us everything we need through Christ. We have been born again by being obedient to the will of Christ. And because of that, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading in heaven, not here on earth. The next thing we see from looking at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, I think is actually a result of their decision to not listen to God and their obsession with material things. They've healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. They deluded themselves with lies. Satan is doing everything he can to keep us from the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 11, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. That's very similar language to what we see in Romans chapter 1 when Paul talks about the depravity of man as he falls away from God. And another passage familiar to us, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is the reason that I think what's happening here that Jeremiah is talking about in verse 14 is a result of the desire for material things. Once we decide that we can make decisions for ourselves without considering God, no matter what those decisions may be, and we begin to look to the things of this world, it's very easy for us to begin to not want to hear people that are telling us we're wrong, but want to hear people telling us that it's all right. And I am fully convinced that is why our country especially is overwhelmed with men and women who are proclaiming that through Jesus we can get rich. Through Jesus we can get rich. Now that's been going on subtly for years. TV preachers back when I was a young fella were saying, if you'll send me money, you'll get back more than what you gave. I haven't met one of those persons that got rich by doing that yet, by the way. We allow ourselves to be deluded with lies because it makes us feel good about what we're doing. We cry out for men who are speaking to us to speak smooth things, to teach to us those things that make us feel right about what we're doing. We are surrounded by an army of men who are proclaiming just those very things. That serving God will give you health. Serving God will give you wealth. We need to be careful of such things. But take note, as Jeremiah talks here and as we consider these things, it's not that they were forced into this, but they gradually went to that direction on their own. And it began when they stopped listening to the Word of God. When they stopped gathering for the assemblies to read the Scriptures. When they stopped listening to the Word of God at every opportunity that they might have. And they began to focus more on the things of this world, satisfying fleshly desires. It is the truth, as we said this morning, that will set us free. Without the truth, we are lost. We need to be careful of giving ourselves over to being deluded with lies simply because it makes us feel good. The next thing that we see is in verse 15, they were not ashamed. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they've done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not know how to blush. Therefore they fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. They had lost their shame. And I know, when we read that, automatically in our mind, we start thinking about the things of sexual immorality and immodesty and things of that nature. But keep in mind, at least a part of what Jeremiah is talking about here is they were not ashamed that they had begun to ignore God. It caused them no hurt whatsoever. Even Adam and Eve had shame in the garden when they realized what they had done. But these Jews had no shame. Paul talked to the Corinthian brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5, he's talking about they're taking one another to lawsuits. And he says, I say this to your shame. And as we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, we ought to be ashamed if we feel the need to carry a brother to a court of law. It ought to cause us shame that our relationship has come to that point. Here Paul continues in that verse, is there not even someone there that can settle it among you? Are you not ashamed that there's nobody that can settle your problems? When we have to reach out to some professional in the world in order to satisfy some problem that we have among us, it ought to cause us great shame. Because what we ought to be doing is turning to the Word of God and finding out how God says to handle that. I sometimes wonder if we feel shame for some of the things that we may engage in. And I use that we in a collective sense, not any particular one individual, maybe not even those that are here. But we need to recognize that when we begin to not feel shame for those things that are against the will of God, we're so far down the path that we may not be able to come back. Philippian brethren were warned by Paul in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, for many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Notice how many of the things we've already looked at are the things that Jeremiah said is why Israel was going to be destroyed. Why Jerusalem was going to be destroyed at that particular time. And that leads us to the final thing we see here in the book of Jeremiah about the problem. And certainly it is a progressive thing. They had gotten to the point that they had rejected the only cure. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. All too often today, even from those that I at least have in the past thought of as being sound, faithful men and women, I hear them when somebody urges, let's go back to the way we know is right. Let's don't try this new innovation, but let's use the way we know God is pleased with. And they cry out, no, we're just doing, we can't do that way. And their only reason is because that's the way we've always done it. We need to reject that. We need something new. That's a symptom of those who have rejected the only cure that we have for our disease. There's not a one of us, I'm convinced, who if we found out we had some particular disease that was going to take our life in a matter of months, but there was a cure that we could take, but it was a cure that had been around forever. There's not a one of us that would look at that cure and say, I don't want that. I like new medicine. We know exactly what it is that we need in order to be cured from sin. The Word of God. We need to seek out the old paths. We need to look back to the faith that was once delivered. We need to go back to our first love. Anytime we see any of these things begin to crop up in our life or the lives of our brethren, we need to turn back to the way that we know is right. The way that has been tried and true. The way that is proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation through Him and obedience to His Word. Never forget that these things begin with refusing to listen to God's Word in one part of our life. It doesn't matter which part. Some parts may have quicker, more devastating results. But it doesn't matter which part we stop listening to God in. Anytime we stop listening to God, we're on the pathway to destruction. We need to give close attention to the Word of God. That means turning ourselves away from the things of the world. Putting our focus on that which we know is true. And putting our focus on heaven rather than the here and now. I'm convinced that there are many who will find themselves on the wrong side on Judgment Day because of their desire for the things of the world. And don't think I'm talking about someone who just sacrifices everything to be rich. I'm talking about someone who sacrifices anything about serving God in order to gain something in this life, whatever it may be. The Apostle Paul didn't even worry about the sacrifice of his health in regards to serving the Lord. Jesus had no place to lay his head, yet he served God perfectly. How much are we focusing on God's will above all else? Build in your life and ensure that you're living according to the will of God. Look at the things that are important to you and see whether they match the things that God says should be important to you. Having a nice place to sleep, decent clothes, and a healthy family are certainly admirable goals. But if they keep us out of heaven, are they worthwhile? We need to get our priorities straight, or we will find ourselves in the same situation as Jerusalem, being destroyed, because we turned our back on God. Make sure we have to turn away from God. There's something in your life that's amiss, and we can help you correct it. The congregation is here. Pray with you and for you. You will come and let your desire be known by the sin you have.